Morning. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Second Chronicles 13. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah began the battle with an army of valiant warriors, 400,000 chosen men, while Jeroboam drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 chosen men who were valiant warriors. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, and said, "Listen to me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his master. And worthless men gathered about him, scoundrels who proved too strong for Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when he was young and timid and could not hold his own against them. So now you intend to resist the kingdom of the Lord through the sons of David being a great multitude and having with you the golden calves which Jeroboam made for gods for you. Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made for yourselves priests like the people of other lands? Whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams, even he may become a priest of what are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the sons of Aaron are ministering to the Lord as priests, and the Levites attend to their work. And every morning and evening they burn to the Lord burnt offerings and fragrant incense, and the showbread is set on the clean table, and the golden lampstand with its lamps is ready to light every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Now behold, God is with us at our head, and his priests, with the signal trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O sons of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you will not succeed. But Jeroboam had set an ambush to come from the rear, so that Israel was in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. When Judah turned around, and behold, they were attacked both front and rear, so they cried to the Lord, and the priests blew the trumpets. When the men of Judah raised a war cry, and when the men of Judah raised the war cry, then it was that God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. When the sons of Israel fled before Judah, God gave them into their hand. And Abijah and his people defeated them with a great slaughter, so that 500,000 chosen men of Israel fell slain. Thus the sons of Israel were subdued at that time, and the sons of Judah conquered because they trusted in the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and captured with him several cities, Bethel with his villages, Jeshanah with his villages, and Ephron with his villages. And Jeroboam did not again recover strength in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah became powerful and took 14 wives to himself and became the father of 22 sons and 16 daughters. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah and his ways and his words are written in the treaties of the prophet Iddo. Amen. So this is the favored son of Rehoboam. And remember, this was Absalom's granddaughter, who is his mother. And so you kind of see the genealogy that runs through here. And so he steps up in battle. If you remember before, when Rehoboam wanted to go into battle with Jeroboam, God said no. And probably because of this time, because the apostasy of Israel, of Jeroboam, was not that great. Now, it's great. And so, you know, they set up their own cities. They put their own priests together. Oh, excuse me. They have their own golden calves. I mean, now they've just totally gone into idolatry. And so kind of the idea that your hands off is no longer there. And so war breaks out, a civil war breaks out. And so a huge group of people gather together. And Abijah stands up and with this incredible sense that he is really representing God. You could tell by his speech that he's going about and taking a stand, and he's telling people, and part of it is trying to convince the sons of Israel not to fight, but also some of it is just simply to mock them and saying, "Listen, you guys do not walk in covenant with God. You follow after these so-called, you have priests of these so-called gods, And he mocks them. But in the midst of this time, during the mocking, Jeroboam actually sends troops to flank them from behind. In other words, this guy talks for a long, long time. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Incredibles, but it kind of reminds me of this scene. You know how when Syndrome is monologuing and he's saying, "Oh, I'm going to do da da da," and in the midst of the monologuing, Mr. Incredible and other people can come around and kind of attack and do these things. That's basically what's going on. Abijah is monologuing. He's just going off, so much so that the troops actually have time to go surround. Remember, these are 400,000 men that are here. So it's a pretty wide group. So they have time to go all the way around undetected and surround them in the flank. In other words, from behind. During this time, I want to get to the war in a second, but let me touch on this one thing. He says in verse 5, "Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by his covenant of salt?" You see this phrase a few times. It happens in Leviticus, happens in Numbers, and then here in 2 Chronicles. What is this idea of a covenant of salt? Now, you have to kind of go back a little bit. Let me try to explain it very quickly. Salt, obviously, is a preservative. Remember, no refrigerators during this time. And so salt accompanied every single meal. There's an Arab tradition, but there's also a Greek tradition that lays out that you'll see later on. In fact, you know the word salary that we get from the word salary? Salary actually comes from the word salt. And it was the Roman soldiers were given a salary. In other words, money to buy salt. And so over the period of time, that's how the idea of salary came about. And this was a daily necessity that you needed every day, precious commodity. But in the days of old, covenants were always attended to by sacrificial meals. And in every sacrificial meal, the presence with salt was always there. There are even some Arab traditions where when people made a promise or made a covenant with one another, they seal the covenant by eating salt, which is kind of pretty gross. But that's the way they did it. And it was this binding agreement between one another. And even if you look at Leviticus, will tell us that the offerings always accompanied by salt because they would be there to preserve the food. And so you see this happening, which is interesting because we see what this means. There's an old idiom, maybe it's too old for some of you guys, I know you guys are so young, but they say this guy is worth his salt, which basically means that he's worth the money. And it all ties into this idea here of this commodity. But salt was used as a way of bringing people into agreement. And it was used in the ancient times to represent a covenant that was being made. And so he'll talk about this idea of a covenant of salt. And it's if you remember in Mark chapter 9, verse 50, Jesus says, "Have salt in yourselves and basically be in harmony with others." And it's this idea of make a commitment to one another. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. He also says to us in Matthew that we are the salt of the earth, and which meaning that you have importance. There's a reason why you are on this earth right now instead of being in heaven. You have great value to the world around you. And so it kind of runs in this idea. So I know I told you it's going to be short. It turned me a little longer than I thought. And so whenever you hear this idea, the covenant of salt, that's kind of what it means. And it's not that they're not promising over some salt. They're not trading salt. It's just a figure of speech that the ancients very much understood what was going on. Now, let's fast forward. So he's monologuing. All these things are happening. He's telling them. Basically, he's relaying to them what happens in Jerusalem in the temple. He says, "Man, we got a clean table of showbread. The light is always on." And he's basically mocking them because they set up fake altars in different cities. And so he's kind of enticing them. And then, again, the army, Jeroboam's army, flanks them. Now, Judah is so shocked at this that when they see this army, and by the way, this is probably a pretty good game plan for like when you think you're about to lose, or when you're in a situation that doesn't look very good. Look what these guys did. The first thing they did is they cried out to the Lord. In other words, God, help us. You know, God, we're going to die. And so the first thing, think about this. I mean, this is really important. The first thing they do is they cry out to the Lord. The second thing they did is they blew the trumpet. Now, blowing the trumpet in this day and time actually meant victory. And so when they blew the trumpet, they were actually announcing victory. Now, they may have blown the trumpet because they were scared. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden, you know, and they, you know, whatever. And you know, the trumpet is the shofar. And so, but it was always a sign of victory. And then notice what happens. He says, and when they cried out to the Lord, and when the trumpets were blown, God gave them victory. And so it's like, think about this beautiful interplay that's happening with people. And when we do this, right, you're faced with a situation that's way over your head. Oh, God, please help me. And then followed by, yeah, God, you're going to help me. It's victorious. It sounds a little schizophrenic in a little way, but very effective. It's coming to that place, and really, if you think about it, it's actually the same thing. It's coming to the place of the end of ourselves, and we're realizing, God, you know, I cannot do this on my own. Crying out to God, and then also the statement of faith, it says, Lord, you're going to grant us the victory, which actually is not very schizophrenic at all. And it just brings us back to original intent, brings us back to God. God, I can't do this. And so what happens? They're surrounded. And now, I mean, remember, and it's 2-1, 800,000 to 400,000, 2-1. So you got half the army in front of them, half the army behind them, totally outnumbered. They cried out to the Lord, and then they blew the trumpet of victory. And I think that's a pretty good battle plan. When you're faced with circumstances and situations that are well beyond your abilities, cry out to the Lord and then claim his victory over that situation. And that's exactly what these guys did. I'll read this. It says, Judah turned around. Behold, they were attacked both front and rear. So they cried to the Lord, and the priests blew the trumpets. Then the men of Judah raised a war cry. And when the men of Judah raised the war cry, and then it was that God routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Isn't that great? Oh, God, help us. Then the trumpet of victory. And then, you know, I guess there's a third part here. And then it was a war cry. They had now been strengthened by the Lord. And then they go out and do their business. And, I mean, what a great, great battle plan for whatever spiritual attacks or any kind of attack that comes our way. Now, the sad thing dealing with this is that, remember, Abijah's, when he stands at Mount Zemraim during this time, his goal is really to bring Israel back. But then you kind of recognize that he only got a couple border cities. And he should have, I mean, God would have given him, but you could kind of have this idea that Abijah was not really fully vested in this thing. And otherwise, he could have very easily turned, because it says very clearly that Jeroboam did not recover from this incident. And Israel became very weak during this time. And I imagine that he could have turned a lot of Israel back to the Lord, but he just settled for a couple of these border towns, these border cities. And which unfortunately is a lot of what happens in Israel during this time. They don't fully obey, or they don't fully take advantage of what God has in store for them. And as a result, they only get a partial victory. And we see this happening here with Abijah. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's think about this ancient pattern. you're coming under attack, spiritual attack or whatever other kind of attack, the first thing is you cry for help to the Lord. Oh God, save us. Followed by the trumpet of victory. You can imagine, you know, how this works. Oh God, save us. Yes, God, you will save us. It's a statement of faith. And then the third part, the war cry, that God starts working in the midst of us and we go and do his will. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of how we can withstand the devil. How we can withstand actually any attack that comes our way. The first thing is we recognize that God, we can't do it without you. Jesus tells us in John 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we cry to the Lord. And then we walk in faith and not by sight. We blow the trumpet of victory and say, God, you will save us. And then God strengthens us and hits the war cry. And the Lord begins to move on our behalf. It's the cry of faith now. We move from, in a single moment here, we move from desperation to faith. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us today about this. Let's cry out to the Lord today. Especially if we're in situations that we can't handle on our own. Let's cry out in desperation. Let's present those things and lay it at the Lord's feet. Let's in that same breath, though, let's also put our faith in the Lord. Claim His victory. And then allow Him to give us the strength to fight the good fight. Now let's pray. Let's pray over our community. In that same way, let's do that. Let's cry out to the Lord in desperation for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and therapies. But let's also claim God's victory over these situations. So let's pray. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer-related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are dealing with looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's cover Pastor Sophia, her ministry, her livelihood there. Let's pray for Cambodia as well. Pray for Grace as she starts her new business as mission. Let's pray for Oasis House. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide. And let's just lift up these countries and our friends there. Let's cover our missions council. Let's pray for our leaders. Pray for a real spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pray that we'd really hear God's voice as we lead our church in our missions. Let's pray for our local outreach, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders and volunteers and really every person that we come in contact with, that Jesus Christ will be revealed to them. And let's pray. Pray for SP Fam. Pray for Cadence as she's leading. Pray for our 8 families that have signed up and a few more in the pipeline. Pray for the kids, the babies that God has given to us at this season. Let's just pray for just God's hand upon this ministry and particularly the babies. Let's cover our gatherings tonight, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and our Experiencing God Discipleship class. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to empower all of our young people that are there, our pastors, our EG participants, and our prayer warriors. And let's pray that God would use each one and that we'd all draw closer to the Lord tonight. Let's cover the house churches tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really be leading our house church leaders, our hosts. Really the presence of God would be in those homes, and that people would draw closer to the Lord and one another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, for your divine battle plan, God. Lord, the end of us ourselves, God, is the beginning of you. And so help us, Lord, to cry out, Lord, in our desperation, but also in that place, God, that you would turn desperation into faith, Lord, and we would trust you, God, and that faith would lead to the war cry, Lord, where we go about and do your will, God, in victory. And so we thank you. Lord, watch over us. Watch over us as a church, Lord, throughout this weekend as we gather together to worship you, Lord, to learn of you, God, to draw closer to you and to one another. Lord, just I pray that today, Lord God, that you give us opportunities to express Christ to others, Lord. And we thank you. We love you, God. Watch over us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you guys over the weekend.